Let me go sit by the
Oh, this is your mail. Oh, this is I wanted to lead him. Can Lee sit next to me? I want to be able to visit with her about this secretary. Trying to trick her.
Okay, we're recording. Let me go ahead and bring the meeting to order. Thank you, everybody, if you want to have a seat. And we're getting stuff passed out still, but this is your, anybody who might be listening later on the, to the recording, this is the 21st, 2009 KPFT. So welcome, everyone. And Dwayne told me, he called off a message just a little bit a while ago. He's not sure he'll be able to make it. He's at a reception down by NASA, and he'll make it if he can, but he did send his reports that Ron got, so thank you. And Ann Shaw is here also, and I hope somebody will make a motion to add her to the agenda near the beginning so she can give us an elections update. But we haven't got the agenda yet. We haven't got the agenda yet. But,
okay.
I'm just killing time while everybody's getting ready, getting their stuff.
So you're doing...
And so we don't have any agenda. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. You want to, while we're waiting for the agenda, you want to go ahead and update us, Anne? On, is that okay, everybody? And if somebody would like to point a microphone close to her, then we can get her recorded too. You don't have to hold it close, but just yeah.
Well, I emailed everybody pretty much what I know at this point, which is that we had 13.2% response of the ballots that we sent out on the listener side. We had 13.2% response, which is apparently good.
Yeah, it's awesome, dude.
So that was good. We got, you know, we needed actually 43 votes on the staff side. We got 42, we needed 42.5 votes to meet quorum on the staff side. We got 43, so after talking to Les, I decided to just extend that for a meeting. And I know that might be questionable, but it just felt like to me we had not. Since we did the shift this year of method letting them drop them off at the station, except for the last few days, felt like to me that with that response on the listener side, maybe we had, you know, switched screens a little bit on the staff, so I wanted to just put that out a little further. I've got all of those ballots. They're going to be separately tracked, so I know where all the ballots are, where they stop officially at 6 o'clock on the deadline. So I can also track the extra staff ballots coming in if anybody does have an issue with it. It just felt like to me that with such a good response on the listener side, the staff side should have been closer to that number. So that's why I did that. And there are a few ballots in the box at the station. So just to give, since so many folks were used to just dropping it in and being there, doing it when they were at their shift or whatever, I wanted to make sure that was available to people. So that's pretty much the basic news. Bill, you may know a little bit more than I do, although I listened to most of this meeting, Monday night's meeting on the archive. We don't know yet exactly when we're going to do the counting because Les has a few things on his hands right now, having sent that 10,000 extra ballots to WBAI and other issues with the numbers that were on the KPFA ballots, and I think during this mix. KPFK. So he's got to get through the KPFA ballots, which he's doing right now, and then do KPFK, and then we'll know when he's going to be coming here. It should be around the 1st of November. So I'm kind of trying to talk to people right now about rooms, but I don't even know how long it stretches. We'll know more after he's done those rounds to know how much time it's going to take, and that sort of thing. So that's really kind of what I know right now. So right now I am just making sure that I caught everything that there were a handful, no more than about 24 listener members that needed replacement ballots or didn't get their ballots at the last minute. So all those folks that kind of got to me right before the deadline, I gave them an extra week. But again, there's a tracking. I signed all their ballots, so I know that those are the ones coming in. I wanted to give them time to get them back because we never got the actual replacement ballots, so that delayed us a little bit. So that's really it. So we may have a few more numbers at the end, but that's essentially.
And what was the deadline change to for the staff ballots?
It'll be next Monday at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, like I said, some of the ballots that I sent out on Wednesday and Thursday to listeners. They had until the 23rd to get them back in.
Okay. But if you know any staff that haven't sent in the ballot yet, it's not dealing with
it. Okay. That's basically it. And again, if there's any questions. So, you'll be getting some emails from me because we'll need a lot of volunteers, non-candidate volunteers, to help with the opening of the ballots, the counting, all the things that we have to do to get ready for the scanning. We'll need some help with that. So, but again, I can't ask y'all for it yet because I don't know who that's going to be. And as soon as I know, I'll be begging for help.
So did you say quorum wasn't reached on the staff side?
Quorum was reached by a half a vote. And so I wanted to just see if I left it open. And I've got them separated out. I've got the staff ballots as of the 43 ballots that came in by the deadline. I wanted to get a sense of, was it because people were so used to just dropping by on their shift? And we didn't, and because it just didn't seem fair to me, I talked to Les about it. He said it's fine. We can backtrack and not validate those if we have problems. But I felt like I wanted to err on that side of it rather than kind of disenfranchising those staff.
Well, the quorum was reached on the listener side also, but not by some, 10-13%?
Right.
Why didn't you leave it open to them also? Since quorum was achieved in both parts, why
well,
the
again,
differentiation?
We exceeded quorum on the listener side. It just,
by a good chunk.
And I was hearing from a lot of staff who, first of all, didn't get their ballots because, again, since we have done, in the past, we've done the staff ballots by putting them in their boxes and they drop them off at the station and that sort of thing. It's a more direct station-centric thing. There were a lot of staff people that we didn't have home addresses for. A lot of them, and people that would surprise you that you think we would know, and we didn't have home addresses for them. So again, I got some calls from people at the very last minute, or other things like that, to where there's a flaw in our tracking system.
Do you think it can be corrected for the next election?
That's what I would hope, and that's one of the things that I've already talked to Bill and Les and to Dwayne about in the next few weeks that I'm here wrapping up my report and doing some of that. That's one of the things that I'm going to be talking to the staff and y'all about in terms of, I think there are some processes. I think the processes of tracking everybody are pretty good, and particularly when I hear what some of the other stations have. But I think there's some things that could be done better. And so this is already, next year it's going to be better than this year because we already have a lot of staff people. And all the people that have come in, if any of the staff people are getting ballots from me now, I'm giving their addresses, before I give them a ballot, like on the last few days. If that's one of the ways we're doing it, so that may take a while to catch up, and so that's why I kind of wanted to err on that and make sure that it wasn't our fault that they fell through the cracks, and that the numbers were low. You know what I mean in terms of because of our record keeping, and because it's a shift in how we were doing it from the previous election.
Is there a way to make sure that the staff who haven't received a ballot get a ballot? I mean, I know we extended the election for
right. Well, yeah, I emailed them.
Oh, yeah.
I emailed the staff list that we have, and I said, let us know. Yeah, email me if you haven't gotten a ballot. So far, I've heard from one person. So, but it was also a matter of they are so used to just dropping by the station on their shift, and since we only have the ballot box there for a couple of days, that was also a change in how we've done it. And so, I know it's kind of. In this case, I wanted to err on the side of I didn't want to disenfranchise people, but we can still track it. So again, if anybody's worried about there being some sort of hanky-panky in terms of, if we have a hugely stuffed staff ballot box by the end of this week and look at that.
I understand why we did it. I'm just trying to, if since we've extended it, is there a way of making sure, because we extended it, making sure that those who haven't gotten a ballot get a ballot, but you said you emailed them since.
I emailed everybody, let them know about the extension, and told them if they didn't have a ballot to let me know. I think that's only emailing people that we get emails for. So again, this is one of those things where this is one of the little gaps that we have in the system that we need to work next year. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, and now we can do better next year.
I know there's at least one person who felt she should be staff and there's some conflict about it. How many people would like that? How many disputes were there about who was staff, who wasn't?
There was.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, there weren't a lot. There were actually very few, and most of them, when I explained, because basically, if you qualify for those 30 hours and last for a month, months, your staff, and that Trump's listener. I only had maybe three people that had a question about that. And I really didn't have very many that we didn't resolve it, or if we didn't resolve it, I haven't heard about. You know, if there are people that are still unhappy, I haven't heard that. Have you?
Well, it was last I heard that she was still unhappy, but it was about 3 weeks ago. So
okay.
I don't know what the situation is. And how about on the other side? Was there any way of checking whether there were people who had once been staff but weren't any longer?
Yeah, well, basically the way the staff list was developed was we pulled together kind of the best staff list that we had, and it included a whole bunch of people. And then I sat down with Ernesto and Dwayne, who are the, you know, most qualified to know who's been in the building a lot, and they went through and looked at those. And the people they had questions about, they checked on them and that sort of thing. So that was really, so it was a person-by-person check on that. You know, I did have some questions about, again, since it is a volunteer staff so much and people show up, and people may show up for a midnight shift and they may have put in 30 hours, but if they didn't sign the volunteer book and that sort of thing. So, I mean, I think there are probably still some people that we didn't get, I think, you know, that, and that's just the nature of that thing. So that's one of the areas that I want to kind of talk to Eddie and Robin and Dwayne and see about, also the whole issue of volunteer members and how that is tracked and whether we're catching all the people that we should be on that side of it. So those are, I mean, you know, those are things to kind of work towards. Because, you know, the discussion on the election committee meeting, there was a lot of discussion about MMSIS, but about half of our list, the members, the MMSIS, we track it by paid members. And so the volunteer members and the staff and paid and unpaid staff, they're not tracking MMSIS unless they pay money. And so, you know, I'd like to find out maybe how KPFA tracks that and whether there's a better way we can do it. One of the things I would like to be able to do in my report is get clear, you know, not make recommendations that would just unnecessarily make more work for Robin or Eddie or anybody at the station, but is there a way, are there some recommendations that we can make that make it, help them to be more effective, and if the elections can kind of drive some improvements in the system, that would be useful, I think.
That would be great if it might turn out to be the template for the rest of the network.
Right, because, you know, the other thing about getting the database better for elections, it's better for fundraising. You know, and particularly on the volunteer side of it, if we're not tracking volunteers, you know, those are the people that maybe we can turn into paying members and that sort of thing. So those are all things that it helps the other thing. But you know, but nobody's kind of driving, they're driving things behind the election. They're not driving things behind fundraising right now. So if we can, you know, if we can use the election to make something happen.
I really respect the job that Anna's done, but I'm really concerned about the length of our agenda tonight, and I'm wondering if we can move on,
sure.
Or at least if Anna can stay, maybe at the end, if we have questions, we can...
Do we have quorum?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
I have something real quick to say. I have something real quick to say to Anna. Thank you, Anne.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Bravo.
Thank you. Okay.
We are 13.
No, it takes 12 because
we have 13.
Esther resigned. Esther resigned. We only have 23 on the board right now.
We have 13. Call to order at 7:07.
We have 13 to move, so.
Okay.
But Richard sometimes counts as 1 and 8.
Okay, well, we have the agendas now, so we'll go proceed with a roll call. Mr. Secretary.
Okay, Teresa Allen.
I would like to announce that over there we have DVDs and CDs.
Please just say yes, sir. You're here. Not, no. Come on,
part,
Teresa.
So if you want to look
Jesus.
Through those and make a contribution, take them, go ahead.
That is
I'm
all right. You're here, apparently. Okay. Wesley Bethune.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Mary Dennis. Lee Greenwood.
Here.
Melinda Eiley Doan. Dwayne Bradley. Dr. Joseph Kay. Esther King,
nope.
Alberto Loureiro.
Here.
Mike Martin. Sandra Rollin.
Here.
Six.
David Salerno.
On his way.
Wendy Srell. Herbert Steptoe.
Here.
Seven. C. Lee Taylor.
Here.
Eight.
Richard Uzel. Here. Ted Weiskel.
Here.
Susan Young.
Here.
Stacy Davis. Chris Gatlin, Dr. George Ryder,
here.
Ron Reynolds.
Here.
13.
Alfonso Rivera. Dr. Michael Woodson. You have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Has Mike Woodson missed three consecutive meetings, and is he therefore disqualified from membership of this body?
I don't know, but there's two or three that have we'll have to check on.
Correct.
We have quorum right now, so I guess it doesn't matter right now. But
let me
okay, Stacy's here. Also, we have excuse absence requests from Melinda, who is sick, Alfonso, who had to work late, Mary, who has to work late and is going on a trip tomorrow, and Wendy, who had to help her son with some important schoolwork.
And Joseph K.
Joseph requested one, too?
Okay.
So, are there any objections to excusing all of them? Okay, then all those are excused. Anyone else that I don't know about? Okay. Let's see. Any changes to the agenda?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to add the election report at 1H. I realize it's already happened.
Okay. In case we have something else. Any objections to that? Okay. If not, we'll add that. Any other changes to the agenda? Okay, hearing none, and agenda's approved as amended. Treasurer's report. Alberto?
I have a very quick report for you all. I was trying to get figures to make available to you. Unfortunately, something happened to the copier, and Duane did not bring financial reports over to you.
Yes.
Oh, they are here.
Excellent.
Ron got it.
Excellent. I'm going to try and very quickly give you an overview. As you all know, we ended our fiscal year September 30th, and we have a preliminary income and expense report that I think is included in your packets. And I will very briefly, because that's the only thing that I have available for you, in the year ended September 30th, we had $921,324 worth of listener support. And we did very well, very on budget, as we had predicted in the previous budgetary process. We also brought in $160,529 worth of CPB funding. And we also had $121,322 worth of every other kind of funding, including community events, including contracts, major donors, including also old corporate matches from our donors. Altogether, KPFT brought in $1,009,209 during the preceding year from all of our sources of income. On the expense side, and I'm not going to bore you too much on the expense side, we expended $1,017,539. I'm sure you have that report in your packet. The most important thing for me is that we brought in $11,734 more than what we spent. So we had a positive year last year as far as KPFT is concerned. And that's briefly my report. It's an overview of the past year's performance. I did not get a copy of the income and expense for the month of September. If you guys have it, please go over it and become familiar with all of these numbers. It gives us the health of our organization. And that's basically my financial report, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you, Alberto. And by the way, the hard copies that Duane did supply, it's just for September only. But the year-to-date values were also in the spreadsheet that emailed to us. Was that yesterday or today? I forget. So, because I looked at those. So those are available.
If I may, if we have that September, can somebody please give us the income number and the expense number, please, just so that we can have an idea how we did. Somebody volunteer?
I'll do it.
Please.
Sure. Total revenue for September, the actuals are $67,439. That compares to the budget, which was $95,802. And that is a negative $28,363 variance. Expenditures, actuals were $109,000. Versus $83,000 for the budget. So again, that is that's in the wrong direction, $25,000. So the net
loss.
This isn't correct.
Oh, because
this is just September.
No, I understand, but it's still not correct.
Why?
Because at any rate, it's all in the wrong direction. Whatever.
Well, because then the other number is the central services, and that kind of shoots off the sheet itself. You know, the income and the expense, because the other number is central services that we have there. How much did we send in central services?
$8,316,
which is an extra expense.
It's
the money that is sent for central services to the national office.
I understand. Never mind.
Yeah. Okay.
That's more than David.
Well, just remember, the monthly values are not too meaningful because they vary a lot depending on the timing of fund drives and things like that. It's the year-to-date that's really important.
Yeah. That's
when the bills are paid and when they come in.
Right.
You know, just...
And I'd like to recognize that usually we get these about 2 or 3 months late because they, in the past, Dwayne was told to wait until after they had been audited. And so we'd usually get them, you know, we would be getting like the July ones about now. But so he pointed out in the email he sent when he sent it to us by email that these were unaudited, so they're preliminary, subject to revision. But I'm glad he got them to us. And also, I neglected to mention that Dwayne's also requested excused absence because he's down in Clear Lake at a reception. So were there any objections to excusing Dwayne?
It's irrelevant. He's a member regardless.
Well, he's a member, but he doesn't get a vote. But okay, so no objections to that.
No objection.
Hey, where?
Devon.
I don't know. He left me a phone message, and I didn't. Okay, so...
That's it as far as our financial reports are concerned, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And I skipped over minutes approval. Apologize. I paid attention.
The minutes were sent out to y'all this afternoon. I doubt if many people had a chance to see them. First, before I go into that... For some reason, I don't know, there seem to be a lot of little gremlins out there working hard today. It's been a rough day, a lot of weird crap's going on. And here are the copies, and the gremlins are working at that too. So if y'all want to approve the minutes and come back if you see some glaring error, that would be great with me because I could go on and post them. But if you want to wait, that's your business too.
I suggest we wait. But if you pass them out, if you want to, if they're readable.
No, they're not readable. But they have copies, and I would hope that somebody would move that they'd be approved.
I move that we approve the minutes.
I second.
Any discussion on that? All right. All in favor of approving the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say no. Okay.
One abstention.
Okay. And like you were saying, we'll always be amended if we find correctness. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Consent items, I don't believe there are any. Correct. LSB meeting spaces. The email I sent out to you folks, was it last week, I believe? I don't know if you had a chance to think about it. But as you know, we've met at L'Alliance frequently, but not always. It's not always available. It's convenient because it's next to the station, and they have... we can run a cable over there, and if we have the right software and the computer working, we can stream the meetings. But Parking sometimes is a problem at night, and Dwayne says they basically told him, you know, that we meet them too often, and he would rather save it for special occasions rather than our monthly meetings. Plus, we also had trouble getting confirmation more than a week or so in advance, and sometimes less than a week in advance. So the question is, do we want to try to establish a regular meeting place other than that, or we'll just float around wherever's available and inexpensive? And anybody have a suggestion?
Do you think that the place over at Plaquemine Plaza, the Institute for Culture, it's a meeting space, it's sort of not central. How critical do you think that is?
It's fine with me. I don't know. Anybody else want to comment on that? You know, it's at Telephone and Lockwood. It's about a mile or less than a mile from the freeway, I guess, off of 45 south or southeast of downtown.
From time to time, that'd be fine.
Is it handicap accessible? Wherever we go, it can be up these stairs and stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's almost
this is accessible too, I think.
Yeah, there's an elevator here. Ted?
You know what I'm going to say. Leisure learning, unfortunately, we can't do it gratis, but if KPFT were to rent the space, I would probably turn right around and give that same money back to the station in a donation, so it would essentially be gratis. And we have, we can stream, we're centrally located, we got decent parking. I don't know if the big room is always available, but there are other rooms I could check. So.
And the LSB used to meet there, so it's on Richmond, just west of Kirby, if you're not familiar with it. Yeah. Stacy?
Like, I had no idea where this church was. There was no, I mean, like, I had a real hard time finding this place tonight.
Okay.
The signs were small. I mean, you know, just.
Well, I
was frustrated by it.
And we don't meet here anyway, so kind of an imposition on us wanting it out. So it's great if it's someplace else.
So is that, you're saying we need to publicize it better, or this place isn't that great because of that?
Well, publicize it better.
Well, let me just ask Stacy to, so I'd understand.
Publicize it better. It seemed like it was all up in the air before the meeting. It was kind of like, what are we going to do? Where are we going to meet? And it was, you know, I didn't know where St. Paul's was, and I just.
Okay, George.
Ted, what do we do to you if you don't give it away?
What record?
this is a nonviolent organization. You chastise me, I guess.
What about the Haven Center?
Would you rule stand?
I would.
What's wrong with the Haven Center?
Verbally.
It's not always available, but it's not free, but it's really cheap. It's like $20 or $25 an evening. The Haven Center.
Cool.
Which is the place on Alabama. It's near the station. Yeah. Teresa?
I'm just suggesting that because I drive 25 to 30 miles to get here, and if we change it very often, all these people who are, you're all very familiar with it, you know, the streets inside the loop, mm-hmm. I just walked David in. I mean, I'm wondering, as we're driving around, you know, are we going to end up on a one-way street? Am I going to get in an accident because I'm trying to get to a meeting and we're changing it? It's all very nice to, you know, spread it around the city. I'm just trying to kind of stick with something so that we're not kind of always trying to find where we're going.
So I have a place that we can
get
that regularly.
You know, I'd be totally willing to pitch in for the Haven Center. $25 between 20 of us is a dollar each. $1.50?
And 24 of us.
Whatever.
Has parking been a problem for anybody there?
Yeah.
Not 24.
Because sometimes if they have something going on at the church, to get there early, it's not a problem. Mm-hmm. But it's convenient. Yeah.
And the other thing about the Haven Center is that it's flat. There's no stairs to climb up.
Yeah.
Just walk in.
That's so, an ice cream bar.
I'm not sure we have a consensus. Somebody want to make a motion? Or?
Mr. Chairman, I think that's your responsibility. Why don't you go ahead and take the bull by the horns and deal with it?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we
need to. You know, it's.
It seems like, may I move that we maybe have two meeting places and do one, I mean, have LOU and Havens as our two meeting places.
How much is LOU?
$75. essentially free, but there'd have to be some exchange of funds.
How much is it?
The room is $120, but as I said, I would return the money.
Sure. Is that only one room that's a meeting room? You're talking about something like this? That's what you mean by the big room?
Yeah, slightly.
Can we shrink the Haven Center?
No, internet's usually not available.
Well,
that's not good.
And I think the Locky Pocky Market is it available.
Can we stream from your locker from LLP?
It's wheelchair accessible. It's got a snack bar. It's got parking. It's centrally located.
What's wrong with Locky Pocky?
No streaming. No streaming there or at
Haven's. Actually, we have another issue with streaming is that we need somebody who has the time and expertise to figure out how to make that software work on that other computer. Because even when we've been at... Well, I don't have the software on this computer, and if somebody would volunteer to get with Otis and figure out how to do that, then
why
that would be great.
Why can't we just record it?
Well, we do that.
We
record it and archive it, but even when we're at L'Alliance, we haven't been streaming it for any of this year.
Well, then that shouldn't be an issue.
Okay. It's in the bylaws that we either do it live on the radio or we stream it.
There's another possibility.
We haven't been.
Oh, so we should keep... There's
another possibility not to violate the bylaws. They've got those new devices now that I think you can, I don't know if the radio station has available one, but I know they're called, they're off of the cell phone that you put it on your desk, and it beams, it's, you know, like a Wi-Fi, but it beams directly to the cell. And you don't need any wiring, you just stick it to the back.
Yeah, that's something Steve's been wanting to do for a couple of years. When we get enough money, we'll probably get one.
Wait, but it's only $49 a month. Now, I mean, they've come down to such an inexpensive...
Plus the equipment.
Right. And it's a little box that you just hook up to the back of your computer, and then you can connect up to the 3G network.
Okay, we'll talk to you later. I'd like to get more on something.
Yeah, I know that we table this discussion.
Okay, so I take it that either Leisure Learning or the Haven Center or maybe the Pocky Pocky Market is okay?
Yes.
Is that right?
Okay. I would prefer that we, there was a previous motion that we empower the chair to handle this. I would
think. Yeah.
Are there any objections to that?
No.
Okay.
No.
You're really asking for it. No. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. We'll consult with people.
Use that power, Andrew.
And we can always change if whatever worked out, whatever we pick doesn't work out, we can change. So, okay. Let's see. We're not going to be locked into a contract like WBAI's studio transmitter. Okay. Board training. Oh, by the way, working as David Salerno's arrived. Did you get an agenda?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Board training.
Okay. Can I give a quick report? The new committee has met. The new committee has met. The committee is made out of Mary, Richard, and myself, and we've come out with a nice outline of six or seven topics that we're still working on. That we are supposed to have a new training for upcoming board members and anybody else that wants to participate on Saturday, November the 14th. It'll be a morning. We've calculated it to be at 3 hours. We're going to have coffee and pan dulce from 8:30 until 9. Yes. Coffee and pan dulce from 8:30 until 9. And then from 9 to 12, we'll have the little sessions. We've broken the sessions into basically what we've conceived, maybe 5, 6, or 7 new topics that we're going to deal with. It's going to be nothing heavy. It's going to be an orientation type. We're looking at a couple of places to hold it. One of the places that we need to follow up in is the place where we had our auction at the One Americas Plaza. Hopefully that might be the place, but we missed it a couple of other places where we might end up having a little workshop. And that's basically where we're at right now. So we still have basically 3 weeks to finalize whatever we need to finalize. That's where we're at with it. I think that maybe Susan might end up with a little assignment as it relates. Well, maybe you can help us. But as it relates to the little, the manual, remember like the manuals you've produced in the past for, you know, I think that we're getting to that point where eventually we're going to end up. Well, making the booklets available, the booklet available to the viewport.
For people that have bylaws.
Yes. During that Ponduce time, you can only speak Spanish.
Good. And all the board and all the candidates are encouraged to attend, right?
Yeah.
November
14th is a Saturday.
It's on 9, your agenda.
9 to 12.
It's on the agenda for the actually where it says board training. So I really encourage everybody to save that.
And it's an orientation more than anything. It's nothing heavy. It's no earth shattering events are going to be happening, but you know.
Yes, George.
Yes, sir.
We'll have
the
elections
tally
by tomorrow.
We don't know.
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
And should outgoing board members also attend to share their expertise, or everybody want to encourage them? Okay. I don't know what the format's going to be, but
yeah.
Yes, Stacey.
Are we gonna calculate the winners today?
No, Ann gave a report earlier. It's probably going to be early November.
Oh. Why?
Because Les comes around and does it and brings the software and the scanning and the whole process, the national supervisor.
If you came in late, you can listen to the archive of this. It's important.
We need to pay to have him come to Houston to.
We talked for about 10 minutes about that. Okay.
Check some sarcasms.
All right. Anything else on board training? Any questions? Or anybody else having to add on that? Okay. Thank you. Let's see. Election report. Was there anything else on that?
Recognition.
Okay. KPP recognition.
Point of order.
Yes, Jeff.
I reread our standing rules or what have you. This is supposed to be KPFT staff recognitions. That was how it was created, and I think I and others have taken it far beyond that.
Shame on you.
I made a motion that we're called the staff. Generically, people who were involved in this process.
Okay, so staff recognitions and anybody else too, I guess? Then. There's no objections to that. Yes, Susan?
Yeah, I would like to recognize the people who put together an extraordinary time here for the Pacifica National Board. There are many, many people to thank. Stacy, unbelievable food and a great outfit. Wendy, who is not here, and put together a wonderful, wonderful event at the Orange Show, even though she was so, so busy, did a lot. And then Sandra, the sainted Sandra, who held everybody's hands and was liaison for everyone and ended up being the go-to person for everything that
only lost one candidate,
only one person maimed. And then there were many, many people who pitched in on an ongoing basis. I know Ted was here, there, and everywhere. Bill coming in and making wonderful remarks with Dwayne. So I think that people were very, very welcomed by Houston. And I know how hard everyone worked. Deb Shafto.
Saved a lot of money.
Unbelievable. So at any rate, and I have never spent so much time in Pasadena in my life, and may never again.
Any other recognitions?
I'm looking at our standing and special rules and section 4 agenda format. The following is the standard agenda dated 10/12/05. Call to order staff recognition.
I'm staff.
I'm not. I was just recognized.
Okay.
Sandra?
Thank you.
May I
just wanted to add what Susan said, especially to thank all of the drivers. That would be Stacy, Teresa, Ted, Bill, Richard,
Dwayne, Michael Woodson, Deb Chapto, I hope I'm not leaving.
John Axford,
and anybody who helped drive, because the trek back and forth from Intercontinental, Nancy was there for driving, and the drive to coordinate getting all those people into the events, to the station and to the art show, took quite a bit of coordinating, and Susan helped as well.
Not very much.
So I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who helped with that. It was a lot of work putting that together and getting everybody's flights for changing, and I really appreciate everybody's help. Thanks to the awesome ukulele girls.
Richard? I'd like to recognize Rosalia Guerrero for our security.
Sorry,
the great, great moment.
Rosalia was great.
New York, welcome to the PMB meeting.
Anybody else have recognition to George?
Yeah, I want to recognize Robin Marquisha. I requested some information, financial information. I got it promptly and thoroughly, and so I sent it all out to you this afternoon. It has to do with the cost and the income coming from our syndicated shows. So it's in your email.
Cool.
Okay. I'd just like to recognize, and I wasn't there because I had another event. I'd like to recognize the people that helped for the Miller Outdoor Theater event. Eddie told me that it was really great. Had lots of great volunteers, and I hope they're enough, but it was really...
It's really well.
So, I don't know who helped, but thank you, whoever you
were. The red shirts.
Okay. Okay. Any other recognitions? Okay, I guess that's it. Thank you. PNB report. I'll give you directors once to go first.
Yeah.
George, Susan, Sandra.
I'll go first. Okay. We're mostly involved with hiring AD, CFO, and it's all being done in executive sessions. There isn't anything we can really tell you about it, except that we hope to get this done soon. The PFW was in open session, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. There are some serious problems with the PFW, both in terms of the election and in terms of relationships between the LSP and the National Board. And that's still happening. There's quite a deal to figure out what needs to be done, what to be done, how to do it. But it was an issue with the little open meeting it was. The rest, we had a financial report, but it's still somewhat up in the air. As you probably know already from what it says on somewhere on here, Dwayne's report. KPFD is the only station which has got a budget, and so we can't. We're waiting for others to do it, but and it's being moved along, but it hasn't happened yet. It's supposed to. As a consequence, we don't really have an overall picture for the national office and full projections for the next year for the national office.
Let me follow up on that. I serve on the National Finance Committee. Because there's been so much turmoil this year, and for one reason or another, and staff. Limited staff and people having more than one, covering more than one position at once and so forth. Yes, we are having no trouble with budgets. And there's been some changing information while the budgets are being prepared. So KPFA has put it in, there's been a change in the CPB figures, there's been a change in some other things. There are serious staff difficulties at KPFK, so they don't have their budget in. Everybody knows about WBAI. WPFW. So those are still in the works, and the National Finance Committee has requested the staff to come forward with a date certain by which to get these done, and is also requesting that the board and the executive director clear the path so that the staff that needs to get in the back and to do that. We do have preliminary end of year figures. They aren't good. The books have not as yet been closed, so these are not final. We lost $800,000 last year, and that was approximately half of our balance.
To what?
Because we didn't get the revenues in, and because the expenses were too high. It's very simple. This is way off of what the planned budget was, which was to hold even or make some money. Additionally, at the end of year, we do not know how these two relate because they do not come off of the same set of figures, but we estimate, and Alberto was on the call, there's something like $600,000 in debt incurred as of September 30th. That debt is not in a loan, it is rather in credit cards and in late payments to Democracy Now, to FSRN, and to others. So the National Finance Committee has said very, very strongly the current situation is urgent. The board must make it a priority. The board must dedicate the staff time and resource to be able to address this, because at the moment, we don't know what is what. We don't have cash projections. We don't have budgets. We do not have accurate information about who is owed what. So we're in a very, very difficult situation. And the National Finance Committee was very adamant about that last night. We're having a board meeting on October 25th. We will be presenting that motion to the board, and we'll follow up with you with information as we receive it.
Okay. Thank you. Stacey?
25th.
Can we know who the ED candidates are? And when are we going to get a...
I don't think so.
Sandra?
I'd like to give my report.
Oh, okay. Well, can somebody answer that? You don't think they...
Answer to that question, no, I cannot publicly announce who the ED candidates are. But I do want to clarify the situation regarding Cynthia McKinney. There's a rumor going around that she received an unsigned rejection letter. That is not true. I have documentation to prove it.
Of course.
So just to set that straight.
And that was discussed in open session, so Sandra is not revealing anything that is confidential.
Okay. Thank you. Ted?
Yeah. I think this body ought to have a discussion on the whole issue of this matter of executive session for the hiring of an executive director at some point in time when it's appropriate. When the Houston Astros search for a manager is more public than the Pacifica hiring an executive director is, I think that it's worthy of some discussion. I personally feel that personnel matters ought to be discussed in executive session, but these people are not personnel. They are candidates to become personnel. And historically, Pacifica has had transparency in the hiring of an executive director. I saw it with my eyes in San Francisco a number of years ago. Also, I think it's unfortunate that I'm finding out for the first time in this room tonight the loss in the year 2008 was $800,000 for this foundation.
2009.
Oh, excuse me, in 2009.
We've just found that out.
And I think that kind of information ought to be shared with our listeners, so that they will be appraised of the situation and hopefully will step up to advance our cause.
Sandra, did you want to respond to that?
I was just going to respond to Ted about the process being done in executive session. That was not my decision or any one single person's decision. That was the decision of the entire PNB on the advice of the HR consultant that names and interviews of candidates for these positions be done in an executive session due to privacy issues that some of the people that applied are currently employed, and they may not want their employer to know that they are seeking jobs elsewhere. Also, confidential information is discussed. So that is the reason why it's being done that way. If there's a way to do it differently in the future, I'm happy to do that, but I'm almost done, so.
Okay. Stacey had her hand up. Stacey?
Any idea when we'll render a decision? What's the holdup?
I would love to discuss that in detail. I can just say that there is a strong disagreement as to who gets hired first, as to whether we're trying to hire a chief financial officer and an executive director. There is a portion of the PMB that feels like the executive director should be hired first, and there is a portion that feels like they want to hire the CFO first. So we're kind of at a standstill.
That's retarded. First you hire an executive director and they hire the CFO.
That's
one point of view.
Okay, George.
The bylaws say that the board hires the CFO.
That's true.
Okay. Let me just ask a quick question, too.
Hire an ED first.
If you don't mind me asking a question, too, regarding the finance committee, because I haven't been keeping track of all this stuff, all that. I did hear the report, and I guess they're aware of that the expenses for the elections are going to be higher than budgeted because of all the mess at WBAI. Because everything is dragging out longer, plus all the extra ballots.
Yeah.
And hopefully not too many lawsuits, but I can see.
I understand. Listen, the numbers are, at any rate, right. They are. I do not have confidence in the numbers that I have reported. Okay, I'm just telling you what I have an understanding may be the case. Okay. Part of our problem is we have been unable to get reliable numbers.
Okay, thank you. All right, any other questions for the PMB people or directors? Yeah, Ted.
Why aren't you consulting with us in terms of the issue of hiring the CFO or the ED first?
Which would you prefer?
I'm
happy to get an opinion from this board, but I can almost guarantee that it won't hold sway with the...
I would prefer, since you asked me, I would prefer that you hire the ED first and let them be a party to the discussion and give their input in the hiring of the CFO without them having the final decision is to the PMB, but they have to work with this person. You may want it to be an adversarial relationship. If you do, then you want to hear what they have to say and hire the other person.
That was a motion that I was going to put forward, but it was never made.
Half of the board agrees with you very strongly.
How about you and George?
George can speak to himself, for himself. I think your position is very well founded. I totally agree and have argued it vigorously.
I disagree, actually, for various reasons, which have to do with things like continuity. But I can't say much more about this.
Okay, we do have about a bunch of things on the agenda, everybody. Remember, so, okay, Alberto hasn't spoken on this yet.
Can we move on to the next item now?
No.
I think Mr. Weisel said we had a very long agenda.
Okay, well, Stacey had her hand up. Can we just do that real quickly if you have a quick question?
I'd say continuity. The whole argument of continuity has been the downfall of more than one or two organizations. Last thing this organization needs is continuity.
Okay. Let me make one real quick. Richard, if you're quick, go ahead.
Ted, who are the Astros hiring?
We have about a dozen candidates that have been published in the news today, including Bill Garner.
Okay.
I hope that that's not relevant, except that it is transparent.
No, you read a newspaper article.
Okay, all right. Moving on with the agenda. General Manager's Report. Thanks to Ron for picking these up and bringing them over, since Dwayne isn't here. Everybody want to take a quick look at the report, see if there's any questions. Maybe somebody can answer them. Did you folks get them also? Were there extra copies, Ron, or somebody?
They're over there.
They're on the piano.
Okay. Yeah. Any of the extra stuff help yourself? I can read it real quick if you want.
Go ahead.
I guess I will, in case anybody's listening on the archives. JPFT is now in the first month of FY10. Cash in the bank this week is $146,000. Membership currently stands at 8,886. The spring drive returns show $275,000 in payments.
I move that we scrap the reading of the general manager's report.
Second.
Okay. Any objections? Okay.
It should be posted on the website.
Posted on the website.
Yeah, I just hadn't had a chance to read it yet, and I assume nobody else had either. But okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anybody have any comments or questions? Mm-mm. I guess so we can ask Dwayne later. He might be here later, I'm not sure. But. Okay. One thing I want to point out that he mentioned to us, or maybe you'll mention this, whoever's at the MSRC meeting, there was the paragraph on sexual harassment prevention and training.
Nearly all paid staff members have successfully completed it online.
The board was going to be encouraged to take that, too.
Very important. It's a very, very important initiative that was championed by this IED. One of the important things we can do, because sexual harassment cases and so forth have been a huge problem for the foundation, and it is not only expensive, it is a travesty for a progressive organization to be doing, to be performing so badly in that way.
And it looks bad.
It is bad.
And I think that's going to be online training, is that correct?
Yes.
So it should be easy. You can do it whenever you want. So look for that one. All the board is going to be asked to do that. Okay, standing committee reports. ARDC?
We met on Monday, October the 12th. It was a two-hour meeting. 18 people were present. I sent an email to all of you. I hope you've seen it, but I did make some amendments to it, and I'll give a brief verbal summary of this meeting. We talked about what it takes to become a member. There was no one eligible for being brought forth to this LSB, but we are moving in that direction. Ron Reynolds gave a preliminary report on the town hall meeting with a more complete report that will be available next month for both the ARDC and for this body. We spent about a half an hour discussing the Committee of Inclusion, and a number of people showing an interest in serving on it were Mary, Dennis, Dwayne Lark, Herbert Steptoe, Richard Uzel, and P.K. McCary. But in the process of discussing this, we discovered that the bylaws say one of the members of this committee has to be a director, in other words, a member of the national board from KPFT, and three of the members have to be members of this LSB. Mary Dennis is the only member. I'm sorry, Mary and Herbert are two of those three, but without a third and a member of the national board.
I am a member of the LSB.
I'm sorry, Richard. Okay, so we have three, but we don't have anyone from the national board who is.
Sandra.
I'll volunteer.
Okay. And then they can elect to bring on additional people by a majority vote. So apparently we now have the essential nucleus. Regarding Black History Month, the committee, based on a recommendation from Richard Uzel, introduced a motion that I would like to recommend that we move to unfinished business, and in a 15, or with Dwayne not here, I'd say a 10-minute discussion, if Dwayne comes in 15, for a quasi-committee of the whole to discuss the recommendation of a committee, which is that a committee should be established for Black History Month programming, but more significantly, the motion by Richard was that the ARDC endorses and encourages that the KPFT Winter Fund Drive not be during Black History Month, February. This motion passed without objection by the people present.
Okay, so you're moving, move that to unfinished business tonight?
As a quasi-committee of the whole.
Point of information.
Okay. Yes, Stacey.
I don't know if it's, I don't know if that's right, but doesn't that particular pledge drive start in January?
According to Dwayne, after the LSV report at on Monday of this week, it was that because this fund drive is scheduled in the way it is, that the next fund drive will occur during the month of February as it presently stands.
I'll tell you, right now we're kind of discussing that. So the motion right now is to move the discussion of this issue to unfinished business tonight. Is there a second to that?
I second.
Any objections to doing that? Okay. Anything else on the ARDC report then?
Yes. The final portion of the meeting was where we're headed, and that is outreach. Each member of the committee was asked to name three groups that they would approach within a month with the goal of them getting involved in KPFT. North Forest ISD, Prairie View A&M, LULAC, NAACP. Billy, you corrected this, and I didn't correct it in here. Crescent.
Yeah, John.
Crescent.
John. What's an acronym? CRECEN.
And what is that?
Go to crescent.org and get to tell you about it. I don't remember what it stands for.
Immigrant rights, right?
Yes.
Primarily, yeah.
Okay. So we've got a lot of outreach going on, which is the fundamental purpose, I think, of anti-racism and diversity. And our next meeting, because of fund drive, will be on Monday, November the 9th. At 6 p.m. at Muhammad Mosque number 45, we will be the guests of Minister Robert Muhammad.
November 9th, you say? Okay.
Correct. All right. Second Monday in November.
Okay.
That's the essentials of this meeting. And
any questions or comment other than on the motion that we delayed to later tonight? Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Budget and finance. George?
Yeah, we haven't met since the last meeting. The only information I already spoke about, which is the